Hey guys, and thanks for joining us today at I-80 Sports. Week 12 just finished, and we're going to talk about our hits and our misses. We're going to talk about the week that was week 12. Thank you for joining us here at I-80 Sports. It is Tuesday, and the NFL season, the NFL week is not quite over, Steve, but we're doing it. Week 12 recap, we're talking our hits, our misses, players who performed this week, players who did not perform this week. Who was the biggest surprises? Who hurt your fantasy roster? We talked to Twitter. We talked to each other. We're bringing that here for you today, Steve.
Yeah, and you know it's a long week, and you know that it's breaking news when a breaking news drop says that Baltimore got on the plane to go to Pittsburgh. Like,
With two additional cases today, so still not convinced that game's ever going to happen. But here we are. We're talking about it. We do have some news and notes as a Giants fan. Daniel Jones is down. We're going to talk a little about Josh Jacobs later. We get to finally see Colt McCoy play a game for the Giants. So
Jesus.
I don't know if that's a plus or minus. But capable. We're not the Broncos.
He beat the Bengals.
There you go. So we are we're doing it. We're here, week 12. Steve, there's something you want to get off your chest before we get started?
I mean, we made a bet. We made a bet back in week six about who's going to have more points when Leonard Fournette came back, Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette. And so I just wanted to update the I-80 Sports fan base on who's currently leading. So right now, Ronald Jones has a whopping 59.5 fantasy points since week seven. That's when Leonard Fournette returned, and he is currently the number 10 running back in half PPR. Leonard Fournette has a whole 45 points and is currently number 39 in half PPR. And there was a story that came out Monday because Arian said directly that after the bye week, Ronald Jones is going to be getting at least 20 touches a game.
That's all said and good right now. They are separated by a whopping 15 points and 59.5 points over six games. You do the math. That's under 10 points a game. Not really, not a whole lot to overcome here for Leonard Fournette. Ronald Jones is always in Bruce Arians' doghouse. He's one fumble away from being back on the bench. So I don't care how many touches you're promised. Edwards-Helaire doesn't care how many touches he's promised. Like, you get what's given to him, you got to run with it. Ronald Jones has looked good, but we're gonna rediscover this just about every week for now. And we make about 10 bets a week, but for some reason Steve is harping on this one. I don't know why that is.
Because
we gotta move on. We have some hits and misses of the week.
But I get to pelt you in the face with a water balloon if I win this bet. Of course I'm gonna bring it up.
A cup of water. Like an ice water cup.
Okay, a cup of ice water.
Okay, we got to move on. It's 3 minutes in. We already lost listeners here. We got to move on. Hits and misses. My first hit, Deshaun Watson. Great game this week. Brought him to quarterback, six on the year. He only threw 25 balls, but he completed 17 passes, four touchdowns, 318 yards. Hyper efficient. Now, this week is a hit. However, I'm going to argue that over this season, it's been a complete miss. He was drafted as a top three quarterback, a top two in some leagues. Mm-hmm. He's had 30 plus points 2 weeks in a row now, but only 3 points three times this whole season. The last two times were against Detroit and New England, which isn't exactly encouraging. I don't want to take anything away from the great week that was. 17 passes, four touchdowns. That's amazing. But In the next couple of games, he's going to see Indy twice and Chicago. Yikes. He lost Will Fuller for the season. That's part of the news and notes for today that he got to go over. PED use lands Will Fuller on the side. I don't own him anywhere because he's had injuries every other season. This season he stays healthy, but he's on the sauce apparently. I don't know. And my question here for you, Deshaun Watson was obviously a hit this week, but was he a bust over the course of this season? Because his draft capital did not meet its production.
If you're going by that parameter, then yes. You have to consider him a bust because, you know, I remember when I was looking to trade for Deshaun Watson in one league, and I was looking at him on Sleeper, and Sleeper does a really good job of updating their rankings. And there was at one point that he was like the QB 20, and I was like, wait, he's that low? Yeah, I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Now, we could talk about a couple of reasons why Bill O'Brien traded Hopkins away, which is his best target. They also traded for David Johnson, who was a bust before he was even hurt. This team can't run the ball. There's just no meat on the bones here. We talked about Deshaun Watson earlier, but I am taking nothing away from his week 11 production, which was awesome. He finally pulled a game out for us, and he is a hit this week, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and my first hit was kind of forced on me a little bit, but
it was chalky. We couldn't not talk about Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill in half PPR, he is now the number one receiver in points, and I just have to ask you, how many games this year was Tyreek Hill held under 10 points?
I would guess very seldom.
Only once. Week 6 against the Bills, he had 3 catches for 20 yards and 1 rush for 5 yards, and it gave him a whole whopping 4 points in half PPR. I don't know why I said 5 points in PPR. I don't know. But anyway, in 11 games that Hill has played in this season, he has only been held under 70 yards in 4 games. Like he's only had less than 5 targets in one game against the Bills.
In fairness, he only needs one catch to get that 70-yard mark. I remember turning on, I guess in the first quarter of the game where he's already tearing up the earth. I turned the game on. I didn't turn the game on. I opened my fantasy app. I was doing some MLS live viewing. There were some playoffs earlier, so I was watching the game and then trying to watch Red Zone. But I remember opening the fantasy app and saying, "Oh, Tyreek Hill scored 30 points. Man, that stinks. Oh, that's terrible. It's against me. This is not going to be a good week, but at least, hey, the 1 o'clock games are almost over." No, it wasn't a 1 o'clock game. It was a 4 o'clock game. And it was the first quarter. He's still going. So Tyreek Hill, obviously a great, great hit this week. And we do need to kind of package it all up together, all the chalk together.
Yeah, because
Derrick Henry also scored a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, and guess who had to go up against both Derrick Henry and Tyreek Hill?
Me.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's good.
But those are also, I mean, I know you have certain things going on. Tyreek Hill and Derrick Henry are not players that can fall to you. You can't make a good call on one or the other. You take them where they're going, or you don't take them at all. So in my own defense, in the league that I had to face both of those guys, it didn't matter because I couldn't have had them if I wanted to. So that's good on you. You did your research. You followed the draft order early. You didn't lose the draft in the first 2 rounds. But in fairness, I had no logistical chance of getting.
Yeah, and just for consistency, in half PPR, he scored 51.4 points. And he was just a monster. And in PPR,
Tyreek or Derrick Henry?
Tyreek. Okay, Derrick.
Henry, if we talk about his game, 27 rushes, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also caught 2 balls for 70 yards. Let's go, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think he was at 27.7, if I remember correctly. I don't have it right in front of me, but yeah, he almost had a 30-point game. He was just ridiculous.
Moving on to my hit number 2. This is a guy I've talked about a lot in the offseason. This is a guy who I was high on, who I drafted, not where he was going. I drafted about 2 rounds earlier. Justin Jefferson, 7 catches for 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. Favorite target of Kirk Cousins. He's catching 72% of his 72 targets this season. So yeah, that's really good for a rookie. 72% of his balls he's catching, and these aren't short balls that they're really airing it out to him. He is 72 yards short of 1,000 for his season. He will obviously make that mark in the games he has left. This is what I talk about when I talk about good landing spot. Talent is only half of it. Talent in life, talent, intelligence, it's only half the game. Opportunity, landing spot, usage, these are all more important. When you saw Justin Jefferson, it doesn't matter the name. Pick any player, Rager, Mims, any of the wide receivers coming out of college last year, and if you put them on the Vikings team, they're going to succeed.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who the player is. It just matters that they're capable NFL caliber. Justin Jefferson, I also think he's a really, really great player, but it doesn't matter. It matters. Yeah. The opportunity is having every chance to succeed. When you see that in the draft, you got to pounce. There are certain teams, certain situations. When you see, the Houston Texans, they're going to draft a wide receiver early. I don't care who that is. I don't care who the name is. That's a player you need on your fantasy teams next year, guys.
Mm-hmm. And you had him on your bench this week. Oh my goodness. I saw that. I saw that. And I was like, really? Really?
But for making good choices, I had good players. I guess not Darius Slayton isn't going to have a week, but it's fixed now. It's fixed now. There won't be a problem moving on. I did want to note that Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs' careers will forever be tied. Stephon Diggs is the departing Viking who mm-hmm. made room for Justin Jefferson to come in and succeed. He's also on a career pace. He's on pace right now for a 16-game average of 116 catches, 1,375 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Minnesota wins, they don't have to pay Diggs. Diggs wins, he gets paid and produces, has a career year. Justin Jefferson, a budding star in the league, lands in the best, most coveted wide receiver role, probably in the NFL out of college. Everyone wins. Justin Jefferson, my hit of the week.
Yeah. My second hit of the week, I was going to go with Derrick Henry, really rub salt in your wound, but I decided to go with somebody who I have been advocating for the longest time, and that is Nick Chubb, the running back of Cleveland.
Not rubbing salt in the wound. It would be rubbing chalk in the wound. Different phenomenon there altogether.
Well, I have long stated that Nick Chubb is one of the best running backs in the NFL. You know, people are like, oh, well, Kareem Hunt's there. Kareem Hunt has a different set of skill sets. And in my opinion, in the games that Nick Chubb was out, I think that Kareem has been relatively disappointing. And he's actually been relatively disappointing since Chubb came back anyway. He's only had one good game above 10 points in half PPR. But in the last three games that Chubb has come back, he's had 19 for 126, 20 for 114, and 19 for 144, and he's scored twice in his last three games. And he has averaged over the last three games 18.4 fantasy points. And before his injury, he was averaging 6.1 yards per carry, but since coming back from the injury, he has averaged 6.6 yards per carry. And looking at his next four matchups, he has Tennessee, which is a plus matchup. They've not been good against the run. Baltimore is the only minus matchup he has left. Giants is a plus matchup.
Absolutely not.
Oh, it is a plus matchup. The Jets are a plus matchup. And Chubb gets the Jets in the fantasy championship. The Jets, one of the worst teams against the run. There are some dynasty leagues that still have trades open up until the fantasy playoffs. If you can try to pull off a trade for Nick Chubb, just give up your future first round picks for as many as you can for Nick Chubb.
Chubb will have rushing touchdowns in those two New York games. New York has two good rushing defenses. Giants are actually fifth. They're only giving up 95 yards a game. Jets are giving up only 111. They are 11th out of 33. However, that's a little misleading because that's only on the ground rushing. I think that there is room for touchdowns. Those are not fantasy points per game. Those are yardage per game. However, the Giants, don't mess with my Giants defense, man. Giants defense is a real deal.
Yeah, but 95 yards a game, that's still a pretty decent stat line.
No, it's not. That's fifth stintiest in the league. What are you talking about, man?
I'm saying if a running back gets 95 yards and maybe a touchdown, that's a good stat line.
Team rushing, they're going to split it up amongst some guys, including Kareem Hunt, who for some reason isn't catching balls this year. What's going on there? Did you see his stats for receiving? Here are his targets. 6, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 4, 1, 2. What is going on?
I don't know. I like Kareem Hunt is such a good running back, and I don't get it. But I think
just in a bad situation, he's a better quarterback. Cleveland is a mess, but that's Baker not taken away from Baker Nick Chubb this week. Week 12, Nick Chubb, you got it done.
I mean, Baker did look good against the Jaguars. You know, I wanted to see how he looked throwing the ball.
I'm wearing a Drew Brees jersey. I could look good against the Jaguars too. There we go.
I'll go get my Ben Roethlisberger jersey. We'll both play a game against the Jaguars. See who has the better stat line.
Okay, I'm down. Let's sign a waiver because for you to step foot on an NFL field,
I could still sling it a good 40 yards.
I could dump it off 2 yards to Kareem Hunt, apparently better than Baker Mayfield can. So I guess we're even. There, we gotta go. We gotta talk about our misses now. Mm. My miss was a layup. The Las Vegas Raiders, favorited to win on the road against Atlanta. Atlanta allowing 291 passing yards and 100 rushing yards per game to their opponents. Raiders lay an egg, only 250 passing yards for Carr, 42 total rushing yards. Josh Jacobs was useless, went down with an injury, did not help our fantasy. Looks like he has a sprained ankle and could be back possibly next game, but he might be a little hobbled, something I want to stay away from. Just keep that in mind. Josh Jacobs stunk, but it wasn't his fault. This Raiders team blown out 43-6, worst one of the worst defenses in the league. There's no rhyme or reason to me about how Las Vegas gets it done or how Carr gets it done for this team. The stats and the matchups just don't match. They're 1-1 with the Chiefs this season. They beat the Saints, but they lost to the Falcons. They got absolutely blown out by Tampa Bay. They are entering the no bet zone.
Yeah, I don't get it, because was that a sound effect that I just talked over?
It was no, it sound affected over you. So continue.
Well, I mean, Derek Carr just had one of those blip games because he had three fumbles and an interception. You know, he has not been playing bad this year.
I agree. He only has 11 fumbles. Three of them were in this game. He has been playing very well. Steve, we lost you. Hopefully, you'll come back soon. So I will dump you out right there. Yeah, Derek Carr, one of those guys who I like him. I like what he's been contributing. It's going to be a game-to-game basis for me. Absolutely. So we're going to see if we get Steve back in 1 second, but we'll skip ahead. We'll talk about my second miss. I know Steve's going to be rebooting, jumping right back on in the show. My next miss is going to be Aaron Jones. 17 rushes for 90 yards on the ground. Not a bad day rushing, but he only had two targets, one reception, and 0 yards. He also gave up 17. The Green Bay Packers also gave up 17 rushes to Jamal Williams. It's an exact 50-50 split to what Jamal got, and Jamal got the touchdown. Aaron Jones, what is going on? He has 8 touchdowns in 9 games so far this season, 19 over 16 games last season. Aaron Jones is a touchdown monster, but splitting carries 50-50 with Jamal Williams and giving Jamal Williams the touchdown is not a practice that I am proud of. In a half PPR, Aaron Jones only had 9.5 points. What's even more disappointing, Steve, and thank you for joining us back, is that we had to wait until Sunday, 8 o'clock, which means most fantasy games were over, most rosters were set. Everything was complete, and everyone said, okay, that's it. I need 12 points, Aaron Jones. I won this week. Steve, they did not win this week.
And so we're talking about Aaron Jones and how he has just been not – I mean, touchdowns, yeah. But rushing, part of me wants to believe that they are like spelling him for the playoffs, and because
I'm for the fantasy playoffs. How about that? Put some money in my pocket. I don't care.
But you know, coaches don't care about that. You know that coaches don't care about that.
They couldn't care less. But Jamal Williams, come on. We have the tape. We played this out in the past. This was your week. This was your season, Aaron Jones.
Okay, so my first miss is going to be Jonnu Smith, the tight end for the Tennessee Titans, because, you know, the first half of the year, he was a preferred target for Tannehill, and it did have to do with A.J. Brown being out for a little bit. But something has happened because, you know, Jonnu Smith, he would, after A.J. Brown came back, he was still good for 2 or 3 receptions and a touchdown. You know, yeah, he was touchdown dependent, but for the most part, he was giving you a solid stat line, even if it wasn't the best. But this past week was a huge miss because when we were on the live stream, they were Jeremy had asked, you know, who should he start in his flex? And I said without hesitation, Jonnu Smith, because he was going to be consistent, and he didn't even register a target. Not a target. He didn't get a single target.
You know, Indianapolis Colts are the best team in the NFL against the tight end position, so I think we could have had a little more insight into that. However, my problem with Jonnu Smith, there are really two problems. First, everyone was on Jonnu Smith this offseason, and I didn't see it. And I'm that stubborn jerk who, when you say something and I don't see it with my own eyes, I am digging in twice as deep. It's a psychology thing. It's in my head. I don't know what it is. But if you tell me something and I don't believe it, I'm digging in twice as hard against it. So I hated Jonnu Smith coming into this year. And boy, I look like a fool for, you know, was that week two and week five where he scored two touchdowns? But the rest of the time, and that's going, I guess, week 7 through 9, he had a little dry spell, only one or two catches per game. Mm-hmm. And then in the last 2 weeks before this, week 10 and week 11, he had 6 targets each game, only caught 6 balls, so he's catching 50% of his balls. And his yards per reception has been 5, 7. Before that, 16, 14, 5, 9, 13, 8, 12, 2, 21,
yeah, I don't get it.
9. So his average yards per reception is just absolutely plummeted. He's only getting the short balls. He is going to be touchdown dependent. He did score 2 weeks ago. He scored 4 weeks ago. It's just it's not working out for him there. And I look like a clown, but I am gonna rub it off now because Jonnu Smith, I didn't see it, and it's not a thing.
Yeah, and for me, he is starting to borderline that drop range because if this starts becoming a trend, you know, he goes from being you know, touchdown reliable to being completely touchdown dependent, and I don't want to have anything to do with that.
He's tight end 6 on the season, but if you look at from week 8 out,
mm-hmm.
he falls.
I think that kind of corresponds when AJ Brown was back and fully healthy, because I know that he came back. I know that Brown came back around week 6 or 7. And you know, week seven was against the Steelers, and he had that. Yeah, he came back week seven, and he didn't have the best game against the Steelers that I remember. But then since week 8, it's just been a consistent decline.
From week 7 on, Jonnu Smith is 15th out of tight end. So I guess you're not droppable because he does have that upside, but he's someone that you're not too happy with on your squad, and that's why you're a miss for week 12. Mm-hmm. John, get it together. And last but not least, Steve, you got our final miss pick.
And this one breaks my heart because I truly believe that he is the best player in the wide receiver of the Giants, and that's Darius Slayton. I know that you'll disagree with me because you're a Giants fan, but I don't know. Just last year I really fell in love with Slayton and his style of play. I thought that he was going to come in and be the best receiver. And I understand that Daniel Jones got hurt this past week, but he was going up against the Bengals. The Bengals, one of the weakest secondaries in the NFL. He was primed to feast. Primed. And when what's his name came in relief, Chase Daniels came in relief, he unloaded like a 40-yard strike to, who was it? I think he unloaded a 40-yard one to Sterling Shepard. So, you know, Chase Daniels does have an arm, you know, and he can throw it past the numbers, but Darius Slayton was 0 for 2. No receptions, no yards. And now with Jones out for a period of time.
With Colt McCoy in. I just got to correct you there.
Colt McCoy in, I have no confidence whatsoever in starting Slayton going forward until Daniel Jones comes back. I think his upside only lies with Daniel Jones on the field.
I really want to see what Colt McCoy has. He was definitely one of the guys, you know, from Texas Longhorn in that championship game where he busted his shoulder up. One of the guys I was looking so forward to in the NFL, and his stock just fell so hard after that, and I'm almost excited because I really like Colt McCoy. This is ID Sports, guys. Have a great week.